Well, let's make our way back to our seats. Thank you for being here this morning. We've got a little bit of work to do, but we are thankful for the worship team and leading us this morning, preparing our hearts in song. So some great songs that we had there this morning. We got one more towards the end. For those of you that have been at Village for a long time, you see the flags and you know what we're doing. The problem is that sometimes that just becomes routine and we're not really thinking too much about why we're doing what we're doing. And I hope to kind of focus us a little bit on that today. We have the privilege of having several ministries with us today, various missions organizations. And in the second hour, when we're done in here, we're going to make our way into the gym. And there's going to be three rooms that are available for hearing more from the various ministries that are represented here today. So after we're done in here, you're going to need to make a choice. All right? You have three rooms to choose from, and there's no room hopping, okay? So once you're in, you're in. I'm going to tell you where those organizations are, and we're going to recognize some of the representatives that are here with us. If they're in the room, they might be still setting up some of those things. Today we do have Tim and Kirsten Jenkins from Avant Ministries with us. They're our missionaries. There's Tim right there. Tim's waving. Wave, Tim. No one saw you. There he is. All right. There's Tim, and Kirsten is here as well. They'll be sharing in room 102, which is the college room in the gym. They'll be sharing that room with Dennis Dahl, who is our advocate for MAF. Dennis is right there. He's from Mission Aviation Fellowship. We're really glad to have him here. Also, we have from Operation Christmas Child, Susan Chambliss is here. Where's Susan? There she is right there. She's waving. And she's related to somebody in this room. She's Patty Ruggles' sister. And so we're excited to have her here representing Operation Christmas Child. So she's set up in 101. Looking forward to hearing from her as well. Joelle Ailes is here from Operation Mobilization. Joelle's waving. She's been around all week. And she is OM's manager of placement, and so we're excited to hear more about what OM is doing around. With us is Paul Brown from OMF International. Paul's in the back right there, and we're glad to have Paul here. He's a church missions consultant with OMF International. Dan and Esther, some of our missionaries, are with OMF International, and we're very glad to have Paul with us representing them. Also, Tim Griffiths from Village Missions. Where are you, Tim? Right there. There's Tim right there sitting in the middle. Tim's here from Village Missions in Oregon. Got to pick him up from the airport yesterday and talk. Fred and Cinda Tribble are missionaries with Village Missions. And so I forgot to say where Paul's going to be. Paul and Joelle are going to be upstairs in the gym in the high school room. So for the brave, not the faint of heart with those stairs, but also the biggest room. So there's more room in there. I fear some of the other rooms we may have to tear out the roof and let people down because of how crowded they may be. Tim is going to be in 101 sharing with Susan for Operation Christmas Child. I'll repeat this at the end, just so that you know. Also, I did get a text from Gail Knight that Gail's on her way, and so we may give her the prayer room, here, this morning. Gail's from Hope on Main Street in Garden Grove. I do want to just point out that we're on week 4 of Faith Promise, and so please consider, if you have not decided how much to give towards missions for this next year, please let us know. It helps us to form our budget. It helps us to know if we can give our missionaries increases. If we're looking to add a missionary, what we can do to bless our missionaries and form our budget. There's a basket in the back to put the physical cards this year. We got super fancy and have a QR code on here for those of you that doesn't scare away. So don't do both, please, right? Like, do one because we're doing this anonymously and we're not going to be able to track you. And if you did both, then you're on the hook for all of that. So, I mean, it's just you and God, but so those cards are there. Next Sunday is going to be the last Sunday. Okay. Well, we'll get the results. Lord willing, we'll be able to then use that to form our budget for the coming fiscal year. Thank you, Patrick, for praying for those in Mogadishu, Somalia. There's more prayer guides, at the, welcome booth. Ramadan started this last week, so please join us in learning and praying to the Lord for Muslim peoples I drove right by Brookhurst yesterday in Little Arabia, and Arabic all over the place, right? So this is not merely far away. This is right around the corner for us to think about. And then, of course, after the second hour, we have a potluck. And so we are going to eat food together. And we also, the representatives also are going to have tables out in the gym. So if you didn't get to go to one of their rooms in the second hour, or you just can't get enough because they're so magnetic and exciting and you just want to hang out with them, we're going to let them eat first. Okay? And then they're going to go be at their tables. And you can find out more about the various organizations that are here today. Woo! All right. Grab a Bible. It will be far less boring if you have a Bible in front of you. I will be far less boring. And we're going to go all over the place in your Bibles today. So I hope you got your thumb and finger exercises today, whether or not it's a physical Bible or on your app. If you need a Bible, there's a black hardcover Bible in the chairs in front of you. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Luke chapter 10, verse 2 today. And that is on page 868 in the black Bibles provided. That's the last page number I'm going to give you, though. Okay, so I'm just giving you the start, and then from here on out, it's up to you. We're going all over God's Word today. The missions team is made up of myself and Linda Coxon, who can't be here with us today. And then, wow, you guys all kind of sit real close. Brian Diaz is on the missions team. Jessica Heinrichs is on the missions team. Oh, and Heather must have been. Oh, there's Heather right there. Heather's right there. Hi, Heather. And that's the missions team. We meet monthly to promote missions, to think up ideas, to communicate with our missionaries, to make sure they have what they need. Please thank them today for the work that they do with our missionaries. And if that interests you, maybe talk to one of us and see if you'd like to possibly join that team. It's a rigorous application process, right? Yeah, very good. We got hands raising all over the congregation. Okay, we got volunteers already. Great. We're in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, where we're going to start today, and we're going to go a lot of different places. But the missions team this year decided to return to kind of the format that I just spent a bunch of time talking about having missions reps here with us, exposing you to the various organizations, getting some pamphlets in your hands, talking to real-life people who know the ins and outs of the organization, who can connect you. Because we did this many years ago, very similar, although we did like a speed missions round and had like missionaries up here with a microphone. And they had like, I think I gave them like 6 minutes or something. And it was like, bam, go, bam, go, bam, go. And then we had them out there. So today we're giving them a little bit more time, like 15 to 20 minutes in each of those rooms as they split time. But even that opportunity, God connected one of our own with OM, and Matt Plotz went to go serve for several years, first in the UK and then on the boat. And so maybe God today will do that again. And all of you people who are 50 and older, don't look at me like that's for the young people, because Village Missions is here, and we know that Fred and Cinda got called out of middle age to go. So you're all in the targets today. You're all under conviction, I'm sure. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus is speaking to the 72 disciples that he sent out on a mission trip. Luke 10, 2, and he said this. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray," what? "Earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Have you prayed earnestly recently that the Lord would send his harvest? That's what we're called to do. That's what we all can do. And providentially, the Lord has given us an interruption to our sermon series on prayer. And we're talking about praying for laborers going into the harvest. You know, that's in Luke's account. But if you turn back just a little ways in the New Testament and go to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, you'll see something similar in verses 36 through 38. In Matthew's account, Matthew says this. Matthew 9:36. "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Same words. We get a little different perspective from Matthew there. But we have that very same image, the harvest. Now, I don't think we probably have a lot of farmers in the room, so this takes a little bit more of your imagination. But I think that the disciples in Jesus' day, all they had to do probably was look around and see the fields around them. They were much more intimately familiar with where their food came from. And so this was an image for them that they immediately connected with. Man, look at that. The fields look great this year. There's only a few people out there, though. How are we going to gather it all in? And that's the image that Jesus is using. You might know where this is going, but John chapter 4, interestingly, when we're reading the four Gospels, we find a lot of the same material in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we get to John, and there's a lot of unique material there, right? A lot of stuff that we don't find in the other Gospels. John written probably later, maybe even after the other three Gospels. And yet, John decides in his Gospel account, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to include this. John 4, 34 through 36. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months? Then comes the harvest." There it is again. "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together." What are we talking about? The face of modern missions, adapting to change. We were hoping to have a speaker who's not me present on this from a uniquely missionary perspective. We didn't get that person, so you're stuck with me. But I think that we have the same Bible in front of us. And what I want to have us think about today is, what are we actually talking about? We're talking about a lot of Christianese today. A lot of things that are kind of insider words if you've been a Christian for a while. So for some of you, you may be trying to figure out the code that we're talking in today. Talking about missions, talking about going, discipling, all of these things. And I really want us to drill down just for a few minutes. What are we talking about? Harvest, laborers, few, the scarcity. Or maybe we should also ask, whom are we talking about? Whom are we talking about? What's the motivation here? Let's go work in the harvest. I'm not sure that connects too well with us non-farmers in a fairly urban area. So what are we talking about? You know, in the book of Acts that we just finished preaching through, in Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas are in Lystra. And when they present their message, they're so compelling that the locals think that the gods have visited. They think that Zeus and Hermes have come down from Mount Olympus and visited them. So everything stops and it's time to throw a party, get out the animals. We're going to slaughter some animals, have some sacrifices, probably a great barbecue. We're going to have a great time because the gods have visited us. Once they figure out what's happening, Paul and Barnabas immediately tear their garments at the prospect of what's about to happen. And it says they rushed out into the crowd crying out. So I just want you to imagine what that would look like at the Strawberry Festival in May. Okay? People all of a sudden are ripping their clothes and running into the midst of just thousands of people and screaming to be heard over the din that's already being made. And they run out and they say, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." And there's more there, but Paul and Barnabas see something at stake. And they see eternal life at stake. They see truth and error. They run into the crowd. And by the way, can you imagine? They say, "Turn from these vain things." I mean, that's not really super nice to say. All the stuff that you're doing, really, really empty, vain, turn from it. But they see what is happening and they say, turn from these vain things to a living God. Now, what's the implication of telling people to turn from vain things to a living God? Their God's not alive, right? Or any of them, depending on how many there are. What's at stake? People's lives are at stake. The understanding of reality is at stake. If you worship a rock, you're missing the truth. You've traded the Creator for the creation. You're missing it. That's what we're talking about. When we use our Christianese terms, right, that come from the Bible and they're helpful, but that sometimes can get scrambled up in our brains and just kind of lose their significance, we're talking about the lost. We're talking about, I'm going to say it in a few minutes here, we're talking about the unreached, the least reached. We're talking about people who don't know the truth. What are we talking about? Whom are we talking about? Go to the book of Revelation. Go to the last book in the New Testament, the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 5. Whom are we talking about? What are we talking about? Missions, peoples, people groups, tongue, tribe, nation. What are all these words? What are we referring to? What's at stake? Why are there flags up in the room? Because they're pretty. Because it's fun to get over and freak people out and walk on the soffit. Revelation chapter 5. There's a scroll that can't be opened. John is weeping. And in Revelation 5:5, one of the elders says to John, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." This is bizarre. Some of you are like, what are we reading? Verse 7, "And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God.' The Lystrans wanted to sacrifice bulls and sheep and rams. Here, one lamb, the Lamb, was slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard," get this, "every creature." I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth," this is comprehensive, "and in the sea and all that is in them, saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." We're talking about lost people, and we're talking about a worthy God. We're talking about a God who deserves the worship of his creatures. We're talking about, maybe you got some goosebumps there. Maybe you just got some, yeah. Maybe you're not awake yet, but that, right? That's what's happening in this image from heaven. Is not only do we have lost people, sadness and a responsibility, but we also see a great God to whom belongs all glory. Turn the page or look across the page to Revelation chapter 7. Look at verse 9. By the way, can you imagine John seeing all this? Wow, incredible. "And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That sounds familiar. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Do you notice how they just can't stop adding things, attributes? When you're in the presence of God, there's just more and more to recognize that He's worthy of. So when we talk about missions, when we talk about all of these strategies, and we're going to hear all these great things these different organizations do, what are we talking about? We're talking about the God of the universe getting the praise He deserves from His creatures. We're talking about eternal life. We keep reading and we're talking about eternal death. This is what we're referring to when we talk about missions. It's not just something for a few of us to get excited about. It's for everyone who is saved by the blood of the Lamb to consider putting their time and talents and treasure toward. Now, when we use some of these terms, what are we talking about? So I went to joshuaproject.net, which is a great resource on the internet. You should check that out, joshuaproject.net. And they, it's a statistical wonder, okay? There's charts and maps and, yeah, it's really cool. Some of you are like, I'm never going to that website. And some of you are going right now. Stop it. JoshuaProject.net exists so that people who don't know the name of Jesus will hear, and hopefully sooner rather than later. We use the term sometimes unreached or least reach. We use people groups. I don't have time to go into all of it, but I do want to read what Joshua Project defines as an unreached or a least reached people group. A people group among which there is no indigenous community of believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize this people group without outside assistance. There are 7,425 unreached or least reached peoples, making up 3.37 billion people on this planet. That's about 42% of Earth's population. 42% of Earth's population. Did you hear that? There's not adequate numbers and resources to evangelize the people group without outside assistance. That's not all. There's a kind of a new term that some in the missions community have been defining, and frontier people group. So listen to this. A frontier people group is an unreached people group with virtually no followers of Jesus and no known movement, still needing pioneer cross-cultural workers. According to JoshuaProject.net, there are 4,991 such people groups comprising 2+ billion people. That's about a quarter of the people on the planet. There are zero followers of Jesus. Look around this room right now. Look around the room. Look around. Look at, there's people. There's some weird people. There's some people you have a beef with. There's people in this room. Listen, do you know that there's more people, more Christians in this room than there are in some countries around the world? You thought we were a small church. We are so blessed to be together this morning, to be in the same room. We have so many resources. And there are so many who don't. So when the missions team thought about this theme, we thought about how rapidly the world has changed. We're thinking about changes and challenges. And we have a danger here, because this can become a little bit of bemoaning the good old days. But what we want to consider is how the world has changed, and how our access to the world has changed rapidly in some of our lifetimes. So we don't want to deny that changes have occurred and that we need to make changes and that there are challenges. We don't need to hide from it either and pretend like everything's hunky-dory. We should patiently evaluate changes and respond wisely, not making knee-jerk reactions. But for those in this room older than 60, that very wise, mature, and respected demographic among us. It's your turn to speak. When you think back to the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, what do you remember about missions? If you're older than 60, what do you remember when you were a kid? What does the word missions conjure up? Okay. Gone to Nigeria. Malaria. All right. Okay. Thanks, Elaine. Karen?
Mm-hmm. So they went to places that were far away. They left here and went to places that were far away. And it took us 6 months to get a letter to them.
Okay.
So yeah. Not contact with family.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a real dedicated life to that purpose.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Joanne? Mm, okay. Phil?
So I became a believer in the early 70s, and one of the first books I read was Jungle Pilot.
Jungle Pilot by Nate Saint.
And that had a huge impact on me.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yes, Bev?
Hearing about Cori Ten Boom, mm-hmm. and when she was in the concentration camp at Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm. Good. So I want you, especially younger people, I want you to hear that. I mean, there's some old people in this room, right? Listen, the oldest people in this room, okay, is not that long ago. If you consider what we're talking about in history, did you hear that it took 6 months to get letters? Listen, Joel Ailes, has it been 11 years, Joel, since you left to go? Joel called me a few Tuesdays ago. I didn't answer because we were in staff meeting. Then she texted me, and then she emailed me. And she's only 3,000 miles away. And that was bam, bam, bam. It was instant, right? How many of you follow some of our missionaries on social media? Okay? You can see what they're doing in Southeast Asia a few minutes ago. Right? So have things changed? A lot of circumstances have changed. Technology obviously has rapidly moved. So what does this mean for missions? I cannot answer that today. I want to get you thinking about this. By the way, if you want to follow our missionaries on Instagram or Facebook, come and talk to us and we'll try to get you connected and figure out where they are. Some of them are here today, so go ask them where they are on social media. But the ability to do that, I mean, my aunt and uncle are missionaries in Peru and they went in the 80s. And I remember them calling on a ham radio and I thought it was one of the coolest things in the world being a kid and getting to say over after I said something to them. You know, how are you? Over. That was so cool. How many of you have talked on a ham radio in the last year? I mean, I'm not that old, right, Alice? I'm not that old, right? That wasn't that long ago. So, do you think that might have some impact on what it means to do missions, to be a missionary? What does that mean for surveillance in difficult places? What does it mean for what's being stored on the internet? What does it mean for looking up where somebody went to college or high school or elementary school? What does this all mean for what we're doing? What does it mean for disseminating messages? What does it mean for conflict to arise on the internet? I know you would never imagine in your wildest dreams that people might argue on the internet or have disagreements. Here's a tweet that's on Twitter. Here's a tweet that has been liked, when I checked it out, more than 22,500 times. Liked. That means someone had to actually click on it. It's been seen more than that. It's been retweeted 5,678 times, and 224 people deemed it important enough to bookmark in their Twitter account. Missionary work is a form of colonization and inherently racist. Okay? Now, I am absolutely positive that people have thought that forever about missions. But one person sitting in their home with their phone can type that onto a machine and it's instantly available. Can you see the double-edged? I mean, people can post Bible verses. Wow, they're out there to everybody. People can say the stupidest things, especially because they're keyboard warriors, right? It's the Pastor AJ's term, keyboard warrior, right? You feel very brave behind the keyboard because they're not someone right in front of you. You say things you'd never say to someone right in front of you, but then it's on the internet forever. Timothy Tennant's very influential book, Invitation to World Missions, he talks about these mega trends that have changed missions and have made people reconsider things. One of them is the collapse of the West reaches the rest paradigm. There are many, many missionaries in the United States of America from third world countries reaching people here. And we're not unreached. We're not least reached. Missions is now from everywhere to everywhere. Bodily, online, YouTube, wherever. So how do we think about this? How do we fund missions? How should we fund missions? Is a model that we used in the late 1700s still a good model for today? Might it be constricting to stay under that model? Another megatrend that he says is the changing face of global Christianity. You do know, folks, that here in the United States of America, you're part of the 4%. Right? The 4% of the world population. Four. There's a big world out there. We often have arrogantly thought of ourselves as the top of the mountain. Oh, those poor people. We should go help them. That's too bad. That can be some of our attitude at times. What about globalization? What about immigration? What about urbanization? Everyone moving to the cities? What about new technologies? What about crazy technologies like radio? Television. That's what we mean by TV, younger people. What about affordable jet travel? Right? For some, I mean, how many of you have flown in an airplane more than 8 hours away from here? I mean, just incredible innovation. An amazing innovation. Transatlantic phone lines. Calling cards. Fax machines. Dial-up modems. Email. You know that thing that you never check? That's electronic mail. Okay? Thumb drives, smartphones, apps, AI, ChatGPT. Google has anything called Bard. Okay? This is all about communication, transportation, mobilization. Do you think that affects the world of missions? Yes. So, just as we know our technology, the power on this thing that's in my pocket, we don't want to blindly just accept the next thing. We don't want to automatically reject the next thing. We know the temptation and dangers of things online. We also know the temptation and danger of feeling connected because we can see a picture or watch a video in the privacy and darkness of our room, possibly not being the most healthy thing for us. What does this mean? How do we think about our missionaries, the ones that we give our prayers to, our donations, our support to? What does it mean for them? How do we consider the changes around the world in missions? Guess what? Missionaries and mission organizations are thinking about these things. So you should figure out how to catch up. So here's the deal, right? Here's what we don't want to do today. Everyone ought to feel guilty right here today. You're pouring money out of your wallet, right? Okay, feel bad and do more. We don't want that. We don't want that today. We want you to be drawn in by the glory of Jesus who saved you and realize there's people that will live and die and never know who Jesus is. And then consider what your role in that is today and what that role may be in the future. This is why you're going to go do a dangerous thing in about 15 minutes and go into these rooms and hear all these amazing opportunities to do various things domestically, locally, internationally. When we think about the changing face of missions, we should get excited because missionaries, Christians, evangelists have always, for better and worse, taking advantage of new technologies to proclaim the gospel to those who have never heard. So I joked about radio, but we support Sean and Laura Boy with TWR. And TWR has a fantastic app on smartphones all over the world. And they're also building radio towers in places of the world so that any way we can get to people the message of the good news, we can do it. We want to take advantage of that. I also would be remiss if I did not tell you about our amazing library. It's through that back alcove, and in the shady area on the left, you take a left, and if the door's open, it's a bright and beautiful place. If the door's closed, you're gonna stub your toe but it's gonna be open right after the service because Vicky and Ben will be working in there. Thank you guys. We have so many great resources in our library to catch you up on missions developments, to be inspired by and convicted by and helped by those who have gone before. I think all the books that I have up here, we also have in the library. If you've never read the story of C.T. Studd by Norman Grubb, what are you doing? I mean, what are you even doing with your life? I've got two copies and there's at least one in the library. You need to read about possibly the greatest athlete in the United Kingdom in his day and what he did. Have you ever seen Operation World? I remember the old green version my parents had in my house when I was a little kid and looking through it. Operation World tells you how to pray for every country in the world. Just an amazing resource. A great one by Andy Johnson called Missions. Okay, How the Local Church Goes Global. I'm going to steal your thunder, Joel. Scatter by Andrew Scott. Okay. You can talk to Joel more about this. Okay. We have this book in the library. Go there for. Okay. Perspectives on the World Christian Movement. We investigated in years past trying to host this at our church. It's a lot. But if you want to know more about missions, you can sign up for this class. I took it for credit, and seminary, but anyone can take it for various levels, and it will give you perspectives on world missions. No one reads this all the way through, okay? But there's so many fantastic thoughts on the history of missions, the strategy of missions, the theology of missions. What do people think about how to do various things? Amy Carmichael, there's a big book on Amy Carmichael that Elizabeth Elliot wrote that's in our library. And then here's a little one. Okay, by Ian Murray, about Amy Carmichael and her amazing life. The life of Adoniram Judson to the Golden Shore is just an amazing, amazing story. All of these things are just the tip of the iceberg. Our library has so many of these. Get yourself into some good books. Go to the websites of any of the organizations that you're going to meet today. Look at the missions budget that we pass every May and look at the organizations that we support that weren't able to be here. Don't waste your life. We have the opportunity to be involved in the greatest mission of all. I also would want to, as we think about how we use technology and how we use our phones and how we use computers and our tablets and our smart TVs and all of these things, I do want to give us the warning that the New Testament, I mean, obviously they didn't have our technology. Okay? But I want you to notice as you read the New Testament, it continually points to the importance of embodied ministry, the importance of being together physically. It is fantastic if you're sick and you can't make it on Sunday and you don't want to cough all over everybody else to sit at home and watch me right now. Hi, everyone who's at home, or that one. I don't know which camera I'm on. That's great. But we had a crash course in figuring this out a few years ago. It's not enough. It's not enough. Paul longed to be with people. He wanted to see them face to face. He wrote letters. Right? Primitive form of email. He wanted to be with them. He wanted to be together. The importance of being present with one another. Use technology and love people. Or use technology to love people. Be careful not to love technology and use people. Get that straight. How many of us need to learn to put this down when we're talking to somebody? Or away, right? Like back there, like get out of here, okay? I don't want to be distracted, but I do want to be distracted. And that's the danger, right? Did I hit the drum? That would have been a great shot. We want to think carefully. When you support somebody with your money and you're going to spend time on your knees praying for them, you need to consider and think about what you're doing and what they're doing. We need to be careful. We need to be generous. And we can be both of those things at the same time. Our models and our strategies might change. Our technology might change. The way that we give. How many of you give online? That's incredible. That's just so different, right? How many of you under 40 write checks? Oh, look at that. Sarah's proud. She's proud. There you go. There you go. How many of you have not written a check in 2023? You've not written a check. There we go. Okay. Wow. Consider the billions and billions of dollars changing hands all over the world to support ministries and missionaries. Think about what that means, what that can do. Think about Paul, the ultimate team player. Jesus appeared to Paul multiple times. Paul could have said, man, Jesus showed up to me and told me what to do. Here I go. Watch me shine. But Paul picks up Timothy over here and Titus over here and Demas over here and Aristarchus over here. Come along with me. Let's go. I'll leave you over here. You go fix that. You go put that fire out. I'm going to send you over there. I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to bring you up. You've seen me. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul, the ultimate team player, a good teammate. He trained and released. He trusted and rebuked. We work together. I forget if it's Hudson Taylor or one of the classic fathers of modern missions said something about holding the rope, right? Like, I'll go, but you got to hold the rope. Folks, that's what we're doing if we're not going. We're holding the rope so that they can go down into that dark place and tell people about Jesus. We have a role to play. The hard part about our role, if we're not going, is it gets really easy to get complacent here, right? I mean, that's one of the dangers about giving online, right? Auto pay, auto donate, auto tithe. I'll never have to think about it. You'll never have to think about it? Uh-oh. I know I'm all over the place. I know. By the way, did you see the notes today in the worship folder? You guys know, like, wow, this could go all over the place. There's a lot of white space. And there's no blank. Some of you are very mad at me for that. So, what hasn't changed and never will? The second to last book of the Bible, which is very small, and you might have skipped over it many times in your life, is the letter of Jude. Incredible little letter. Jude wanted to write to his friends about salvation in Jesus Christ, but he couldn't. He had to change his topic. In Jude 3, there's only one chapter, so that's verse. He says in the second half of the verse, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. The methods may change, the message cannot. The faith once for all delivered to saints. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 talks about how he's willing to do, listen to me, just about anything to reach people with the gospel of Jesus, which means sacrifice, mainly. Sacrifice his freedoms, his rights, his liberties, so that others might hear this good news. In 2 Corinthians, he said, he's not like so many peddlers of God's word. I'm not peddling God's word. He said, I'm commissioned by God. In the sight of God, we speak in Christ. That will never change. That cannot change. If you're supporting a missionary who says, we just can't preach the gospel anymore, it's not relevant, stop supporting them after you talk with them about why you can't support that. What will never change is that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It might be sign language hearing. It might be Braille hearing. Whatever the case, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sacrificial death on the cross, in his glorious resurrection from the dead, and his ascension to the Father's right hand, where he intercedes for us right now, is good news, and it's the only news that can save. So, OM's here today. OMF International's here today. MAF's here today. Some more broad-based ministries, some very specific ministries. Village Missions is here today doing a very specific thing to provide pastors for congregations in rural areas that can't afford them. We have other organizations that couldn't be here with us today. We're all going to connect with different missionaries and different ministries in different ways. But as a church, we want to get behind those who are going to say, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Whether a missionary tells you that, quote unquote, your neighbor, a doctor, a businessman, someone on the internet, someone on the radio, whatever the case, we know that that is the truth, and that's the truth that needs to be proclaimed and that needs to go out. Listen, it's already made it to the easy places, folks. All the easy places the gospel's made it to. It hasn't made it to the hard places, which means if you're going to send your kids and your grandkids, they might not come home. But that's okay, because that's why we read the books, right? That's why we read the books and go, that's dedication. That's faith. And it wasn't faith just in 1847. It's faith today. It's how we go about our lives. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And your body might be at the stake. But is God worth it? Is he worthy of all praise and honor and glory and strength and wisdom and all that list that we keep going on and on with? Yes, he is. And if you know him, what's the worst thing someone can do to you? They can just kill you. That's it. That's what Jesus says, right? Don't fear the ones who can kill your body. I mean, we just talked about eternal life. I mean, if you make it a long ways, if you make it 90-something years, if you somehow hit 100 years, that is a flicker. That's a vapor. That's a tiny, 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 tiny amount. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up and lead us in song. We want to consider what this means. Again, we sing this song frequently, and we sing it, and I want you to sing it, unless you can't. But I want you to sing it, I want you to mean it, and I want you to pray to God to help you mean it, that we would be about the cause of Christ. So we're going to sing. I'm going to pray. And I want you to think about this. Listen, I love fellowship and talking. Go to a room. Get to a room. Go talk in the room. Go to a room. Let's encourage the brothers and sisters that came here, that flew here to come share with us. Let's go hear about their organizations. And then we can go eat together, okay? So that's what the rest of the day is going to look like. Let's stand and sing together. Father, we thank you that saved us, that somebody came here to the ends of the earth and shared the gospel with us or our parents or our grandparents, and that they and we turned from vain things to the living God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us find our place intentionally on mission for you. And what that looks like, Lord, we don't know, but we pray that you'd help some of us to figure it out today, to consider where you would have us serve. And we thank you that you love us. And we remember that we love because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.